GNC 575. It's Friday, May 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, sir, we got a great show for you. You know what to do. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the studios overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. And absolutely beautiful weather here in Honolulu. It's been kind of an interesting evening, interesting week. Got lots to share with you. But first of all, welcome to the Ohana. All of you that are longtime subscribers of the show, thanks for being here and being part of the podcast. Of course, welcome to the listeners from 165 countries worldwide that tune into the show twice weekly, released every Tuesday and Friday morning. And thanks for being subscribed. Hey, if you're new to the show, we want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter is available via a link in the second column of the website. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about tonight on the show. And really, it's full encompassing with all of the hyperlinks to all the articles. And of course, it includes listener submissions. And you can submit stuff to the show if you want by sending an email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365 to really leave your comments about the show. We've got a bunch of emails and comments at the end of the show tonight to go over. And of course, we want you to get subscribed too. Being subscribed guarantees that you'll never miss a single episode of the Geek News Central podcast. And you can do that either via the blog RSS feed, the podcast RSS feed. Of course, you can do it via Zoom, iTunes. There's a column right there, or actually a subscription button right there on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. So check that out. Of course, you can watch us now officially on the Tech Podcast Network channel on the Roku and on the Boxy. So if you've hacked your Apple TV to run Boxy, you can watch the show from the archives, basically available via those two devices or the actual Roku box. The Tech Podcast channel was approved, I believe, Tuesday evening was approved. So we're now live on the Roku device with Tech Podcast. I know many of you have already found it because I'm already seeing the numbers going up, which is great. So thanks for checking the show out on your big screen TVs. Must apologize to all of you that downloaded the show last time because in an hour and 11 minutes, I started talking like this. And I had previewed, you know, I have been, since we had some problems in the past, I have been, you know, spot checking the show and make sure that there was no issues with the recorder over here that was is causing the problem. And lo and behold, I guess I didn't check far enough. So I had re-uploaded basically the backup recording, and that was available online so within 24 hours. But I know most of you download the show right away, and I know some of you had sent me emails. I appreciate you following up on that. Well, lots going on here, and tomorrow my lovely wife and I and kids, we're going fishing. We haven't been fishing in years, but a group of parents, kids, you know, here in Honolulu right now, every other Friday is furlough Friday. That means basically because the state has no money, the kids are out of school. So this has been going on now since, probably before the Christmas break, where the kids every other week on Friday, they're off. So parents are having, you know, trying to find activities to do, have their kids stay busy on Fridays. And we're going fishing tomorrow afternoon. I've got a full day of paperwork to take care of in the morning, and then in the afternoon we're going to go see if we can see what we can catch. And I have fishing poles that haven't been pulled out of the closet in a long time. So that is the plan. We're going to be having meetup in Michigan on Saturday, the 22nd of May. For those of you that are within striking distance of Coldwater, Michigan, going to be going back to my hometown after my visit to Ford. But we're going to be meeting at Applebee's, again, Saturday the 22nd at 6 p.m. Eastern. If you want details, or just send me an email and I'll get you hooked up. I know that probably Anna McCaskey from SDR News is going to be coming up. I know that Barry, one of the team members at Raw Voice, is going to be coming down from Grand Rapids. There's going to be some folks, fans of the show, and also podcasters themselves coming down from Jackson. Probably going to have some people in from Detroit. So it's going to be, everyone's going to converge at Applebee's at 6 p.m. Saturday the 22nd. I'm buying dinner, so I hope you'll show up and join us. I'm also going to be doing what I'm going to be, when you're in the shower, ideas come to you, right? And I really had this kind of like aha moment. I've been working on this podcast, our Geek News Central Insider, and I've already released one edition of that, and that's gone to those that are basically subscribing and supporting the show on a monthly basis, and all those that also do one-time contributions as well. And I got to thinking about it. I said, what better way to do an insider, to do something that really is close and dear to my heart, is where I grew up. So what I'm going to be doing for the next Geek News Central Insider is a video tour of essentially where my childhood home is, my grandparents' property, which is now my mom's, the land in the woods, and it should be fun. It's going to be a video tour, and it'll be just you and I going on probably about to an hour, and share with you guys a lot of inside Geek News Central inside information. So if you're looking to get involved and want access to that video, when I put it up sometime, probably a week after next, all you got to do is become a Geek News Central Insider. You can do that at geeknewscentral.com/insider. They give me a little information here about what's going to happen at Ford next week. Jeffrey Powers from the Geekazine podcast at geekazine.com, he's going to be out there as well. I'm going to be packing up camera equipment. I don't know if we're going to be able to live stream or not. We'll kind of play that by ear. But get into Detroit on Wednesday, May 19th. We're going to have a dinner sponsored by Ford, of course, from 6 to 8 p.m., kind of a socializer. So all of us to meet all of each other that are going to be there. And then Thursday morning, May 20th, we're leaving the hotel bright and early, 8:15. And we're going to be going to various lab tours. We're going to be going to the Manufacturing Ergo Lab, the Vertex Lab, the Powerwall Cave and IVR, whatever that means. And then from 12:15 to 1:15, we're going to, of course, get pitched by Ford, one of the executives there that's going to talk about their product programs. And then from 1:15 to 4:15, I think the true fun is going to be on, because we're going to get an opportunity to drive 2010-2011 model year vehicles. We're going to be at the Steering and Handling High-Speed Track Product Review Center looking at safety and technology demos, and they're going to wrap up at 4:15, which I'm promptly going to get in a vehicle and head for my mom's house and probably get in there 6 or 7 o'clock to spend couple of days with her before I fly back out to Honolulu on Sunday. So there will be, I would imagine, unless timing really works out good, there'll probably be no show Thursday night, but I will record a regular show on Friday that's going to be released, probably be a short one. It all depends on how much material I get and how tired I am, but I'll be putting out a normal show. And then the following week, the Geek News Central Insider for my trip there will be done, and we'll be back in the studio here the following week, of course, for all of the normal show stuff. So it looks like right now, tentatively, that I am going to be home after this trip to Dearborn for 3 weeks. And then at some point in around the 7th or maybe the 14th of June, I'm going to be going out to Rochester, New York for a week. So if we got any Ohana in Rochester, New York, keep you advised, and I'll let you know when I'm going out there. So I'll be out there for a week. So again, should be back in the studio for a full 3 weeks, which is good, and keeps the missus very happy. So anyway, that's what's going on with the itinerary. Again, make sure you get over GeekNewsCentral.com offers. Check out the offers we got over there. I've been getting some feedback from those of you that have been checking out the products and services there. We thank you for that. Again, the Geek News Central Insider is available at GeekNewsCentral.com Insider. And Sam sent me an email today saying that he's added some more items to the Cafe Press site. Hey, Sam, one thing I noticed in the Cafe Press site, if you could do me a favor, add some more black polo shirts with the GNC logo on. If you can get me some black polo shirts, I really prefer black over white, and I don't know what the rest of the audience prefers, but if you guys have a special request on what you want out of the Cafe Press site, just let Sam know via the show. You can send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Again, cafepress.com/OhanaStore, O-H-A-N-A store, and I'll get you access there. Now, if you're up on Twitter and you want to communicate with the Ohana, use the hashtag Ohana, and to chat with me, use the hashtag GNC. Have that, of course, in the show notes. And don't forget to favorite the website on Facebook. Okay, what else is going on here? I think that's it. Let's take care of a little business here, and then we'll get into the regular content tonight. Send an email off to GoDaddy's VP today, because I saw a blog article tonight talking about some issues that some GoDaddy customers are having with WordPress blogs. And I'm sure I'll get a response from him tomorrow, letting me know what the company's doing. They've got something going on over there. So if you've got a hosting account with GoDaddy, you guys know that I'm GoDaddy's a sponsor here. I'm stand behind their products and services. But if you have a shared hosting account with a WordPress blog, make sure you get your WordPress blog updated. You can do that through the WordPress dashboard itself. And another thing, and I'm just basically waiting for some info back to him so I can address some stuff that I found on the net today about some concerns some people had on WordPress sites being hacked, not only on GoDaddy, but on some other sites as well. So I keep you advised on that. But really, you know, it's all about transparency here. And I share with you guys good things and the negative things. There's things that are happening. And they've always been real good in responding to issues that have come up. And I'm sure this will be no different this time, and I'll share that with you on the next show. But if you're looking for a great product from a great company, you're looking for domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, GoDaddy's where it's at GoDaddy.com. Don't forget your geek here, Geek News Central, by using my promo codes over there. TODD, save 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a shared hosting account for a 1-year subscription. ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49. And Aloha will get you $20 off on orders $75 or more. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Let me see here. What else have I got on the list? I think that's it. No, we've got to talk about GoToMeeting. You know, whether you have important business to contacts in L.A., New York, or even abroad, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to meet with them in person, but, you know, you don't want to get on an airplane every time, right? Traveling is expensive, time-consuming. You know, look at me. Look how much time I spend on the road. And when I can meet without going somewhere, I use GoToMeeting to hold online meetings. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest online meeting service available. You simply set up your meetings in advance or on the fly. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and now they can see your computer desktop on their computer screens. So it's just like meeting in person with GoToMeeting, and hold unlimited meetings for one low flat rate. You guys know I've used GoToMeeting. It's great. And as a listener of this show, you can get a free 30-day demo. It's a month of unlimited meetings at GoToMeeting.com. Again, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold a special here too. I'm going to pay for 3 months of your GoToMeeting service. If you send me, and this is going to be for those of you that are already using GoToMeeting. What I want to hear from you is how you're using GoToMeeting in a unique and cool way. So the best submission that comes in over the next week, after I get back from Detroit, I will go ahead and award someone a 3 months worth of their GoToMeeting subscription paid for by me. But you already got to be a user, or you need to try it now and let me know before the end of the week what your experience has been. And I'll pay for, again, that 3 months worth of subscription service, $150 value, and come out of my pocket to you. And but basically, I want to hear your testimonial on this product, what you think about it, how you like it, how you're using it, and I share that with the audience members here. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the regular content that I have lined up for you tonight. And man, there's just a stack. There really, really is. Let me go over here to the very beginning, and let me close that and close this. Should not come as a surprise to any of us. And this is an article that's up in the New York Times today. And let me get set up here so I can actually bring this up on the... I didn't do that. Todd, you a knucklehead. Give me 1 second here, folks. I want to be able to let the folks on Ustream be able to see the actual... Okay, find my right folder. No. Yes, there's the folder. Launch the IVGA program. Okay, that's launched. Let me reach over here. There we go. Okay, now let me switch it back. sorry about that. The rest of you are just listening on audio, but let me go ahead and flip this here. Okay, in the New York Times today, there's a good article that now cell phones are being used more for data than for calls. There's an industry report out by all of the carriers basically saying that data is accounting for more usage on cell phones than actual calls at this point. I also read today where 40% of you have made the jump where you have canceled your landlines in your homes and you are now just connected solely by your cell phone. But this is pretty big. Text messages have increased as well by 50% since last year. Email and data usage is growing at a faster rate than most of the companies can keep up with. But here's the thing. When people do talk on their iPhones, this is according to New York Times, their conversation rates are shorter than the average length of a local call, which was 1.81 minutes in 2009 compared with 2.27 minutes in 2008. And this is it shows that we're not talking so much. And I don't know about that because I know I'm on my phone a lot. Of course, my phone is my business. It's right there. It's my business line too. So I know I have more phone than data because my minutes per month that I use proves it. I think last month was 3,800 minutes or something ridiculous. That was a pretty high amount. How many of your parents have daughters getting ready to go to prom? You know, my daughter's going to be a freshman next year in high school, the one that lives here in Honolulu. And, you know, it's been a number of years since I was in high school and took my date to prom. But, you know, it's a big deal for most kids these days. Now there's a Facebook page. People are setting up Facebook groups for schools where they're actually putting a picture of the dress that they're wearing to prom as a way to deter other girls in the same school and class from wearing the same dress. And there's almost little mini wars breaking out by, you know, the high schoolers. So they go out and buy their dress and then they take a picture of it. And then at the same time, they basically see, you know, some other, you know, there's obviously some clashes going on. But this is one way that that our younger generation is basically trying to prevent others from wearing the same clothes that they're wearing to the prom. You know, I thank God I'm a guy because all we had to worry about was a tux, right? It was either black, white, gray, whatever color we wore. That's all we had to worry about going out and buying or renting. But I am sure here in a few years, I'm going to be faced with the ever-present daughter with the handout asking to pick up a nice prom dress. But and they're using Facebook to prevent one another from wearing the same clothes. That's such a social stigma. You know what? There's not going to be any of that in my house. I'm sure. Famous last words, right? So what do you guys, gals and moms and dads, what are you guys, what are you seeing? Are your sons and daughters acting all weird about what clothes they're wearing to prom? Are they using Facebook? Love to hear your feedback. All right, Twitter-controlled botnets come to the unwashed masses. Security researchers unearth a tool that simplifies the process of building bot armies that take their marching orders from specialty created Twitter accounts. This sounds like a very serious issue, except when they did a search for the commands for this botnet, they only found 3 people using the commands. But they go on to say this is, it's very slick and cool, and, you know, teenagers are frothing at the mouth so they can get access to this this botnet code. But yet, they go into nothing about how people's computers are being hacked to be taken over by bots, just that only Twitter-controlled botnets are being available. And I think a little bit of a, I think it was a slow news day for the folks over at the Register. In the conspiracy theory department, and I wouldn't normally cover this, but I had to kind of laugh because, you know, we're still have many troops in Afghanistan, and there's big news today out of Afghanistan that the opium farmers are facing a lean harvest due to a mysterious fungus. Well, of course, who are they blaming? They're blaming the U.S. military for coming in and spraying the opium, which is, of course, being denied. So what if it was, right? But made big news today. All right, how many of you are on your iPads are wishing that you, how many of you went out and actually bought a mini keyboard? Now, for my Mac Pro, which I have down here underneath the desk, I actually have a one of these mini keyboards that I put up on the desk when I'm using it, because I only use this Mac Pro for video editing and a few other functions. The rest of the time, I primarily use a Windows machine. But I did notice when I updated this machine recently, it actually asked to update my mini Apple keyboard. And I didn't realize that these keyboards could actually be updated, but they do have firmware in them, and Apple actually updated it in my last update for this machine. But it's awful big to use, and I know when I'm traveling with my iPad, I wish I had a smaller keyboard. Well, there's a mini Bluetooth keyboard for smartphones that are available, and it works for the iPad. And what I like about it, it's small enough, it's just going to fit right into my computer bag. And I'll be able to set my iPad up, and if I want to type, I'll be able to hold this a little easier. And pretty cool little device here. Doesn't say what the pricing on it is. It was over at ubergizmo.com is the where the article is at. But I'm sure this will sell like hotcakes for those of us that wish we had a tactile feel keyboard. Hey, one thing I forgot to say tonight in the beginning of the show, those of you watching on Ustream, you guys can see the @GeekNews and the Ohana sticker on the windows in the back. Those are provided by a gentleman in Albuquerque, a friend of Sam's. You can find his website at tweetdecals.com, tweetdecals.com, and let him know when you put your order in that I sent him over there to see you. And pretty cool stuff. And I've got some stickers and stuff here where been putting in the envelopes that Ohana have been sending to us to get swag, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show on how you can get some swag from the show just by sending me a self-stamped, self-addressed envelope. I guess that's a way to say her, and we'll talk about that. Anyway, hey, over again, more rumors about, you know, we talked about on the last show how AT&T has a stranglehold on the supposedly with Apple until 2011 or 2012 for, you know, controlling the iPhone market. Well, it's being rumored today that 10 million CDMA iPhones are already on order. This rumor is that the iPhone is being built by a company called Pegatron, and DigiTimes is a website at digitimes.com is reporting that the company could be expected to deliver up to 10 million devices this year. And I'm sure that's something that Verizon subscribers would be happy about. But again, this is all rumor and speculation. And I read the DigiTimes article, and supposedly they have some unnamed source that's saying that they're building the phones. No date on delivery, but maybe Verizon will be, you know, maybe there will be able to, you'll be able to get an iPhone through Verizon soon. I don't know. All right, NASA started the countdown this past Tuesday for the afternoon launch of the Space Shuttle Atlantis. And this is likely the orbiter's final mission. And the launch of Atlantis is scheduled for 2:20 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 18:20 GMT, essentially today, from the Kennedy Space Center. So if you have some time and you want to watch History in Progress, watch the last launch of Atlantis at NASA.gov. And again, the launch happens, weather permitting, at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 18:20 GMT, Friday the 14th. Okay? Pirate Bay ISP has been asked to, has gotten an injunction to shut down the company CB3 Rob. What a name for a CDN. It's the German ISP that hosts the Pirate Bay, has been hit with an injunction by a Hamburg court. They've been told that they have to stop hosting the site or it will face massive financial penalties. And the owner, the CEO of the actual ISP, may even risk jail time. And he's being quite vocal. And this is pretty amazing rhetoric on this guy's part. He says that it's questionable. And this isn't, he says the MPAA is already issuing a press release about the news. But Campius tells Ars Technica that he hasn't been notified about the injunction. And he says it's questionable if they even attained it legally without having a full court hearing. He goes on to say, regardless of the injunction's legality, his views remain quite the same, that it's ridiculous. And he goes on to say that, quote, that the Pirate Bay is a search engine for BitTorrent protocol and therefore fully legit. And if its users don't have a distribution license for any content that would require such, guess who's to blame for not selling it to them in the first place, but preferring old distribution channels instead, which pollute the environment and constitute unfair competition. So obviously he is a Pirate Bay fan, but yet he is going to be facing fines and jail time if he doesn't shut down access to the Pirate Bay servers. So we'll see what happens with this. No timeline has been given, but I'm sure the Pirate Bay will be successful in finding a new home for their website. All right, this is out of the on the government side, and I don't know where this congressman. Oh, actually, his name's Congressman Cliff Stearns. He's a Republican out of Florida. Introduced a new bill to the Senate, and let me see if I can see the Senate bill. It's called the Net Neutrality Bill. That it would require, check this out, quote unquote, neutral network neutrality. Yes, neutral network neutrality. And what he is attempting to do is the bill would make it difficult for the FCC to proceed with its preferred approach to network neutrality. And he would, in other words, reclassifying internet access as a telecommunication service over which the FCC would have common carrier authority. This bill demands that the FCC send a lengthy report to Congress showing that, quote unquote, there is a market failure in the provision of such information services or internet access service, and that there is a substantial evidence that the market failure is causing specific identifying harm to consumers. In other words, anytime the FCC would want to act upon a Comcast or Time Warner or one of these other conglomerates, monopolies for a better word, that the FCC would have to send a report to Congress basically saying that there's an issue and justify it, and they wouldn't be able to act independently. So he wants the FCC to be enforced on a non-discriminatory basis between and among broadband network providers, service providers, application providers, and content providers. So this is so this would have to be applied evenly to Verizon, YouTube, Google, and of course there is other top Republicans who are joining him and pressuring the FCC to stand down. This is all about not wanting these organizations or these companies to be regulated. So this is quite surprising. And I think we all can agree net neutrality is a good thing, so long as companies, don't throttle traffic of one type or another. But really what's the congressman is trying to do is stifle any type of really regulation that the FCC is trying to put forth. So we'll see what happens with this. But have the link up to it in the show notes. I encourage you, if he is your congressman, to call him and talk to a staffer about your feelings about this bill and any others that may join on to support it. I don't know how far this is going to get in the process here, because obviously the Republicans don't control anything, either House or Senate at this point. So I don't know if this is going to get any legs under it or not, if they're going to get any bipartisan support on this. But we'll see what happens, and I don't know what the administration's thoughts are, but definitely this counters what the FCC is trying to produce at this point. One thing I do like about where I grew up is that the city, actually I never lived in the city limits, as you guys on the Geek News Insider will see a week from now. I live quite in the country. I grew up quite in the country. But the city that is closest, it's not that big of a city. I think it's, it really doesn't, I don't know if it qualifies as a city, 12,000 people or so. They put in their own infrastructure many years ago, before it was vogue to do so. They'd actually put it in their own local network, and getting internet service in that town is very inexpensive, very high speed. And we know that a number of municipalities across the United States have tried to do this. And there's a good article about Louisiana, a case going on in Lafayette, Louisiana, where the city has finally won after 4 or 5 years of basically battles in court, battles against the cable operators, battles against the common carriers, a.k.a. the phone companies. And finally, after, again, 5 or 6 years of lawsuits, they have finally laid in fiber and made available, check this out, 50 megs per second symmetrical for $57.95 a month. Now, they've even got access where you get 100 megs per second within the actual city's network itself. And this is amazing that a small community like Lafayette, Louisiana, was able, after countless lawsuits, finally won against these folks, against the cable companies and so forth, are now able to provide fiber to the curb for the population, and $57.95 a month, 50 megs per second. So this is a win for the folks in Lafayette, Louisiana. Now, battles are still brewing in many places across the country. And there's more battles in North Carolina and other places that are trying to implement this, because really the cable providers absolutely unequivocally do not want local utilities putting in services like this and competing against them. But, you know, they had the city had asked all the providers to lay in fiber, and all of them had declined, saying it was too expensive, too much of an investment. Encourage your city council people and the towns that you live in to consider following the Lafayette, Louisiana model, especially if you're in a small town, and get this amazing access to your home at a fraction of the cost of what it would cost through Comcast and Time Warners of the world. And an interesting ruling today A federal judge has ruled that LimeWire's CEO is liable. Yes, the CEO is personally liable for copyright infringement. Now, LimeWire is a corporation. LimeWire has a chairman that has been appointed by the company, but the court has found him personally liable. This is unbelievable. A district court judge of Southern District of New York has ruled that LimeWire had infringed on 13 copyrights from major record companies, allowing LimeWire users to obtain and share unauthorized digital copies of music recordings. In the judgment, the court agreed with the record company that LimeWire and Gordon were liable for inducement of copyright infringement, common law infringement, and unfair competition. So, of course, the LimeWire has replied and said that they are going to fight this, but this is the first I have ever heard of a company CEO being held personally liable. In other words, it's going to come out of his pocket, not the corporate pocket. That's scary. It really, really is where that has originated and the ruling on that. Okay, Amazon Cloud Data Center was knocked offline today. Apparently, a vehicle struck a nearby utility pole, and a transfer switch within the data center failed to properly shift to a backup power. Amazon said that a small number of EC2 customers lost service for about an hour by the downtime. And, of course, this is was followed by three power outages last week at data centers that EC2 customers are in. So all it took was some guy running into a utility pole, and these multi-million-dollar generators and switches that support these big, vast data centers, just one switch didn't flip, and what do you know? Down comes the network. So Amazon not immune to car wrecks. This article on Slashdot, had me set back in my seat a little bit. And, of course, the tragedy going on in the Gulf of Mexico right now is ongoing. And have you noticed the news has not been talking about this? They haven't been showing the environmental impact as like they were when the spill initially. And I think I watched switch between CNN, Fox, and a couple of other major networks tonight and saw nothing about the oil spill. But BP continues to try to plug it. But there's an article over in Slashdot saying that because of this uncontrolled leak, they say, and this someone, and I don't know where this guy's getting this information, but it said this could become a Yellowstone caldera type event, except from below a mile of sea, with a quarter mile opening up to 150,000 PSI of oil and natural gas behind it. In other words, they're saying that the oil reserve could collapse and essentially blow the trillions of barrels of oil into the Gulf of Mexico. Sounds scary to me. I'm trying to get information on where this guy is getting his scientific information on this, but this was linked to by several sites. Have this linked up in the show notes, but maybe it's this guy just being a little bit overreactive. But that's deep. You know that I don't know. I just something. This just doesn't ring like it has any meat behind it. But there's a lot of questions going on how much oil is actually being blown out a day, but they really need to get that fixed. It's bad, irregardless. All right, Subway today claimed trademark on footlong. How many of you been to a ballpark and had a footlong hot dog? How many of you been to a fair and had a footlong hot dog? Apparently, Subway is not real happy with a Coney Island vendor who has a footlong hot dog, and they sent a cease and desist order to them, asking them on their patent pending footlong trademark to stop using it. Again, a pending trademark on the word footlong. You know, Subway, how long has Subway been in business? I remember seeing foot-long hot dogs at county fairs, you know, 35 years ago. And I don't think Subway was in business 35 years ago. At least I don't remember in business 35 years ago. But anyway, they have a pending trademark for footlong. I would fight this tooth and nail. What an overreach. Absolute overreach. Now, many of you that are that go to Hulu will have noticed today that Hulu updated their player. And they made a big announcement about how they've changed the Flash player and how that H.264 and HTML5, or actually how HTML5 is not quite ready, and citing issues about being able to put advertisements in there and controlling the media and a whole bunch of other stuff. So anyway, Hulu.com, you're still not going to be able to visit with your iPad or your iPhone. And able to get access to content there because they're not ready to roll out HTML5 video on their website. But if you're a fan, you can go over there and get an idea what they've done to update their player. And then they've done a lot. I was just reading through. I sent this over to Angelo to have him take a look at what they're doing compared to what we spent a lot of time on our new player that's going on our new blueberry.com website, which I think you guys are going to be excited, which will be HTML5 enabled. Matter of fact, I was doing last reviews today of the update to the website. I'm really excited about our relaunch and rebirth of blueberry.com and what we're going to be introducing over there. It's pretty exciting stuff, and really will set the direction of that website over the next year, and will definitely become a much more prime destination for media content consumption. So, but we're going to be fully HTML5 capable over there. Next article up is about Skype. Skype now is going to be offering multiple video. Basically, now when you do video chat on Skype, it's just one-on-one. But now you're going to be able to bring in as many as five people. So what's going to be kind of cool is I'm using a backup camera tonight because Andy McCaskey's got one of my high-def cameras. The Ohanosaurus back here, which sits back and is where people can call in on when I have specific events where we have call-in shows. Now, instead of needing, independent channels for each computer, I'll be able to run, multiple people in one screen, which is pretty cool. I actually got some wind of this earlier in the week, but this is the first announcement I've seen on it from Skype, but this is going to be out shortly, and it's in beta. You're going to have to pay for this. They haven't announced the pricing on it yet, but it's going to be available a little later this summer, but group video calling available coming to Skype in a very near future, which is really cool. Skype has also said today that they're not going to be doing Windows Mobile development, Windows Mobile 7. The only thing that they're going to be developing towards is new offerings for the iPhone, iPad, and Android-based phones. So this shouldn't come as a surprise based on Windows 7 market share. I'm going to link you guys to a video that is brilliant. It's called The Secret Mission of the Terminator. When you see this, I will say that this is probably the best independently created video that I have seen in a very long time. And it's good. It really, really is. Hang on just a second. Ray, quiet. So I had my son's out in the back. He's sounds like he's rearranging furniture in the backyard. So anyway, The Secret Mission of the Terminator. Those of you on Ustream, if you want to check it out, now you can do so, but I think you'll find that it's good. And anyway, I have the link up in the show notes. All right, Sony has posted another huge annual loss, and appears PS3 sales are up. They posted a $439 million annual loss, but they did close the gap a little bit on PlayStation 3, and but still not good. And this is better than the $1 billion drop they had last year. But 439 was their number this go-around. video, if those of you that have droids and you want to use the Bing navigation, the folks over at pocketnow.com have a demo of the new Bing mobile app. And if you have an HTC by T-Mobile, you can check this out. I'll have this linked up in the show notes for you to give a try, but or actually to look at the demo. But another GPS application coming to a phone. All right, tourism firm offers space rights for $102,000. You guys know that to buy a trip to the International Space Station is I think around a $25 million price tag. But International Space Station flights are probably off limits for about 99.9999% of the world's population. What is going on here? Why am I hearing this pop, pop, pop? You guys keep hearing that? I keep hearing it. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not. Let me look here. What is actually going on? Driving me crazy is what it is. Anyway, what's going on is now the Virginia-based firm Space Adventures has signed an exclusive deal with Armadillo Aerospace, and they're going to be offering up to 5 minutes of gravity-free flight, $102 million. And you'll go up, and you'll come immediately back down, and it's about $100,000 cheaper than Virgin Atlantic's pricing that they initially came out with. How many of you knew about the Air Force having basically a supercomputer built out of PlayStation 3s? Sony apparently issued a recent PlayStation 3 update, removing the device's ability to install alternate operating systems like Linux. It said it did so to protect the copyrighted content, but several research projects now are in big trouble. The Air Force is one example. They have about 900 systems. And then some schools have built like supercomputers out of these as well. So what's the issue here is now if they buy a new PlayStation 3, they are not going to be able to, if they have a PlayStation 3 that goes down and they want to buy another one to put in there, it's going to be essentially they're not going to be able to hack it legally. So with the Air Force Research Lab having a 53 teraflop system, as these things start dying, they're not going to be able to replace them. And it's a much cheaper, it's a great deal for the taxpayers because I think they spent about $660,000 on the actual cluster, whereas if they would have done it commercial service, it would have been a tenfold price differential. In other words, it would have cost them $6.6 million. So the taxpayers got a discount on this, and definitely not a good thing with the Sony shutting them down. Now, I don't know if Uncle Sam has any persuasion, but who knows? Maybe they'll be able to find a workaround. The folks over at Adobe struck back again today. They have produced an open letter to the world, and they didn't necessarily call out Apple specifically. Well, actually, they did. They basically said they believe in an open internet, freedom of choice. They feel that companies or individuals should not be forced into what type of and how they create content. It says, we believe that consumers should be able to freely access their favorite content and applications, regardless of what computer they have, what browser they like, or what device suits their needs. No company, no matter how big or how creative, should dictate what you can create, how you create it, or what you can experience on the web. When markets are open, anyone with a great idea has a chance to drive innovation and find new customers. Well, Adobe should have thought about this a while ago. You know, the handwriting's been on the wall for a while, Adobe. You know, look at your pricing. You know, I understand you're a company that needs to be in business. But the open web in HTML5 allows me as a content creator much more freedom than I have in having being forced into encode my video into Flash. Now, whether or not it's a better or worse experience for my viewers to watch with HTML5 video, we will see. But I know that it saves me many, many steps in the publishing arena to not have to use Flash. And definitely low overhead on, those that are visiting my sites, browsers, and computers as well. They go on to say, we believe that Apple, by taking the opposite approach, has taken a step that could undermine this next chapter of the web, the chapter in which mobile devices outnumber computers. Any individual can be a publisher, and content is accessed anywhere at any time. Well, yes, without Flash, it is a much easier world there, Adobe. So what do you guys think? What do you think about Adobe? What do you think about this response? I have the link up in the show notes. Love to hear your comments. I really want to get into this. I'd like to hear what your guys' thoughts are. And if you haven't had a chance to really experience HTML5 the way video is presented to you, I encourage you to go over to YouTube with an HTML5 embedded, enabled browser like Chrome, and check out the video experience over at Yahoo on their basically where they have videos up in HTML5 format. So, of course, you're going to be able to experience that at Geek News Central here shortly as well. Hey, Philips has introduced a new LED light bulb. Found this over at Engadget. And let me bring this up. You know, we had talked to the folks at Crane, ccrane.com, at the Consumer Electronics Show. And they have introduced a number of LED light bulbs as well. But Philips has a new line available. They're not cheap, about $60 per bulb. I think these are a little cheaper than the ones that are available at C-Crane, but they put out 806 lumens of soft white light, which is about the equivalent of 60 watts. And at $60 per bulb, boy, they better last a lifetime, that's for sure. But we'll see what this is an initial figure that's being announced by Philips. And when they get on the market in mass, we'll see what the pricing is. Okay, what else I've got here? this next product, I sometimes wonder what companies are coming up with, and I think you guys are gonna laugh at this. Let me see if I can bring this up. I probably won't be able to see it real well on Ustream, but what this is, it's a $29 13-port USB hub. It has on and off switches, which allow you to connect up to 13 different devices at the same time. Each port can be turned on and off individually, and it makes it more supposedly convenient to use. But those of you on Ustream probably can't see this thing. Let's see if I can get a bigger picture. Of course, clicking. Oh, there we go. Let me see if it brings it up in there. There we go. So that's what it looks like. So you can plug up to 13 devices into this thing. I wonder how long after you plug it into a USB port, how long it takes your computer to recognize all these ports. But, not too bad, I guess, for $29. Do you need 13 ports? I never have that many in use. Big news out of Facebook, of course, was that they had a big team meeting, brought the team together over privacy issues. Of course, there was breaking news today where there was a supposed conversation that happened when their CEO was only 19 years old. He says, hey, this is a supposed chat that happened between him and a buddy. Hey, he says, yeah, so if you ever need info about anyone at Harvard, just ask. I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, etc. And the person responds, what? How'd you manage that one? He goes on to say, people just submitted it. I don't know why. They trust me. Dumb beep. So this is a response. This is basically a supposed instant message chat between Facebook CEO Zuckerberg and one unnamed party. So, you can see he was really worried about privacy even in the very, very early days of Facebook. I've got an article from Scoble. I'll cover at the end of the show that covers this this issue about privacy at Facebook as well. Hey, did you hear that North Koreans have claimed that that the country had successfully carried out nuclear fusion? Yes, you guys know nuclear fusion, which is the holy grail of cheap, clean energy. Do you know that the North Koreans claim to have had success? Well, of course, it came on the anniversary or birthday of North Korea's leader. So I'm sure, I'm just amazed that a country that is largely without electricity was able to accomplish this. Of course, scientists around the world, including anyone with any common sense, have been very quickly to remind folks that, again, North Korea is one of the world's most poorest company. It hardly has enough electricity to keep basic lighting on and for other needs. And that a South Korean nuclear expert said that maybe tomorrow, if two suns show up in the sky, then maybe people could believe the claim. So anywhere, that's the latest propaganda out of North Korea. And this next one is a good one. You guys just aren't going to believe this. You know, in the time of recession, you would think that stories like these would not be possible. In Abu Dhabi, of course, that is in the Middle East, today was the introduction of a gold bar dispensing ATM. In the Emirates Palace Hotel in Abu Dhabi, you can now go up and insert your cash, a lot of cash, and you can be issued a 10-gram bar of 24-karat gold. Each bar can also be custom engraved that is the reminder of your net worth. So what this thing does is you go up and you put your money in it, and as long as you get enough cash or your credit card in there, it'll issue a 10-gram bar of gold that you can carry around. So I'm sure all of us will be rushing over there to put our hard-earned cash. I wonder what the surcharge on this thing is. Put enough cash in to get your 10-gram bar of gold. Unbelievable. Well, you know, with the way the economy's going, maybe these gold machines will be popular here in the United States soon. And we'll all be doing the little bite test like they did back in the early days of the when Western civilization was starting to, you know, populate the United States, or the, you know, before the country became civilized. But, you know, maybe we'll, instead of going to the ATM and getting dollars, maybe we'll be issued gold nuggets. Who knows? All right, over on webworkerdaily.com, article about could a better Hotmail tempt you away from Gmail? Hotmail still has, there's still, that service is still alive. I know anytime I send email to Hotmail, it usually, no one ever responds. It like it goes into this black hole. I'm sorry if you're using a Hotmail. If you're on the mailing list, generally you don't get the newsletter because it just somehow it goes into Hotmail and just disappears. Last time I knew, you had to pay for your Hotmail account, didn't you? But anyway, could a better Hotmail tempt you away from Gmail? I don't know about that, but that's what they're thinking. Going to have threaded responses. Haven't we had message threading for a while in Gmail? Hasn't been a feature since like day one? Oh, man. I'm sorry if you're still using Hotmail. If you love it, congratulations. But if you're missing email from me, don't be surprised. Verizon is announcing today that they're going to share Spectrum in an effort to crush the competition. Verizon Wireless is in talks to share its Spectrum with rural wireless carriers. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. This is a way for them to get the small wireless providers to pay for LTE deployment in parts of the country that would probably never get it otherwise. So it's not clear what the details of the spectrum sharing is going to be, but it looks like Verizon is hoping the rural carriers will lease the Verizon spectrum and build out the towers and provide LTE access for the network across the country. So we'll see what happens there. So, you know, we'll see what Clear does. Maybe they'll fight fire with fire as well. All right, U.S. broadband demand bounces back. Maybe it's a sign that the economy is maybe on the rebound a little bit. I don't know here, but top cable companies added 915,000 subscribers in the last quarter. Top telephone companies added 502,000 subscribers. Top cable companies now have a total of 40.2 million broadband subscribers, while phone companies have about 32.9 million. Comcast was the largest provider in the U.S., closely followed by AT&T. Okay. So Comcast has 16.3 million. AT&T has 16.0 million. Time Warner is at 9.5. So that's kind of how it shakes out. But they've had some pretty big net adds. Let me see who looks like had the most. Yeah, probably. It looks like AT&T and both Comcast had the biggest adds. How many of you are actually using AT&T for internet service? I don't think they even have it available here in Hawaii. Next article up, actually it's a site, moonzoo.org. If you want to check out the moon, you want to cruise the surface of the moon, moonzoo.org. Very cool site. See the moon like you've never seen before. Over on Robin Good's masternewmedia.org website, he's got a pretty good article here on basically about content distribution. And I read through this. This is a pretty good one. Top online content distribution strategy, standards, aggregation, syndication, and versioning. So this is some strategies that you can use with your content. And it goes into some detail there. He comes up with some pretty good articles from time to time. So add masternewmedia.org to your permanent read list. Lots of good stuff with him. And, of course, always great site links as well. All right, Scobel. You guys like Scobel's? Hey, you guys, I'll be on Ustream. Check this out. Doesn't this, you know, what's Scobel doing? Is he copying the GNC a little bit? It looks like my logo flipped over, doesn't it? Except he's put it in, see, they put C. It's, you know, it's supposed to be a C. But, you know, that kind of looks like the, you know, he's following in good taste, right? Yeah, it looks kind of, you guys just got to go over Scobelizer.com. Those of you that are on the audio portion of the program, go over and take a look at Scobel's new logo. you guys in the, on Ustream, you guys, let's see if I can actually do this here. You guys, yeah, does that look kind of familiar? Anyway, Scobel wrote an open letter to Mark Zuckerberg. And here's what he's recommending him do. Split Facebook into two pieces, one private, one public. Number two, make the private piece much easier to understand and set up. Number three, put a party in charge of verifying that privacy settings actually work. Number four, do a better job explaining of why you're putting more and more emphasis on public part of Facebook. And is there a number five? Yeah, use video to explain what Facebook is. Video is harder to read. Yes. What? Video is harder to read. Yes, but it's more emotional and it's easier for you to explain and show some of these features. Anyway, open letter to Facebook. And he's pretty hard on him. He says, I never trusted you, Facebook. Not in the beginning because you shut my account off. You canceled my account. But pretty hard letter by Scobel to CEO Mark Zuckerberg over at Facebook. This last article, again, comes from Scobel. And I had to laugh at this because he put on a speech at Techonomy. And the title of this, Are You From the Future? And he spoke at a technology conference in Tel Aviv, and then he spoke at to a bunch of parents at a private school in San Francisco. You know, two distinctly different groups of people, and where, you know, the tech group understands Twitter and Facebook and Google Buzz, and the other group really doesn't understand it. But he goes, "Are you from the future? Here are some of the ways you may tell that you are." Number one, have you copied some JavaScript code for your blog? I.e., do you know what it is like to embed YouTube videos into something else, like I did in this post? If you have, you're from the future. Have you written some filters on Gmail to filter your emails? If you had, you're from the future. Have you shared something that used to be private, like your health insurance, your credit card information, and drunken college photos, your baby's birth, your sexual orientation, or something that used to be taboo? If you did, then you're from the future. Have you gotten your cable upgrade or just fixed by tweeting at Comcast Cares? If you did, you're from the future. Have you started up a new Linux or Windows server from an iPad or iPhone or Android phone using a cloud service on Rackspace or other cloud hosting provider? If you did, you're from the future. And he just goes on and on and on. and 38 points. I'll let you guys go through and read them. I'll have a link up in the show notes, of course. Hey, if you've got comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Make sure you go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers to check our offers up. Of course, become a Geek News Central insider by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider and check out the Cafe Press store at cafepress.com/Ohana store. All right, let me go ahead and get in. I got one audio comment and then a couple of emails. We'll get into that and then we'll get you all out of here. So here comes the voicemail. Hopefully it's better than the last one that came in. And so we can hear it as well. Everyone, when you're calling into the voicemail hotline, try not to do it while you're driving down the road. And if you are, use your hands free or whatever. It just makes the quality just a little bit better so we can hear it. Here is the voicemail again, 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address.
Hey, Todd, this is Bill out of Coastal Pennsylvania. Sorry about that last message. Yeah, I was in... I went home just trying to utilize my time, and I'll still drive home today, but sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic, it's not going very far, and I have decent, looks like a decent connection. So hopefully this channel's better. I was just calling to apologize about my comments on that last email that I sent you, and I think it probably just had to do with something on my end, because I was using different headphones at the time when I was listening to the show, and that might have accounted for the audio quality that I was talking about.
Oh, no worries.
You always do a great job no matter what.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, you sound like you're coming out of a tin can. I still enjoy the show. One other thing, though. I know a comment someone asked about using a USB modem in a wireless router. I don't know of any other places that have them, but there's a website that I use all the time. You're probably familiar with it. It's called tigerdirect.com.
Yeah.
They have them. Wireless routers. Now, I think he was actually asking for what kind of modem works best. As far as I know, it's like any, wireless modem. It's going to work best where you have the best coverage. But they do have them. I think Linksys and D-Link make them where you can plug in a USB wireless modem. It connects to your carrier, and boom, you have Wi-Fi off of that connection. One of the guys in my office has one. It's not quite like that. It's not a wireless router. It's a Wi-Fi hotspot. But you can plug in any USB broadband modem, and it'll give a Wi-Fi connection. In the short range, it's not as quite as powerful as a regular router. But it's pretty neat. Runs off of AC or battery. And I think he said either like 10 to 15 people can connect to it. So they're pretty handy. They're there. Tiger Direct has both of those types. And just thought I mentioned it. So take care and aloha.
Hey, thanks for calling. And connection was a little bit better. No worry. No one ever need to apologize for anything on comments on the show. It's all comments are definitely appreciated. And thanks for ringing in and providing the info. All right, let me go ahead here and do the emails real quick. I got an email from Trucker Tom. Said, drifting satellites threatens U.S. cable programming. And TV communication satellites drifting out of control thousands of miles above the Earth, threatening to wander into another satellite's orbit, interfere with cable programming across the United States. The satellite owner said this week. Communication company's Intelsat said it lost control of Galaxy 15 on April 8th, possibly because of the satellite systems were knocked out by a solar storm. Intelsat cannot remotely steer the satellite to remain in its orbit, so Galaxy 15 is creeping towards the adjacent path of another TV communication satellite that serves U.S. cable companies. It says Galaxy 15 continues to receive and transmit satellite signals, and they will probably interfere with the second satellite known as AMC 11. If Galaxy 15 drifts into its orbit, it's expected in around May 23rd, according to AMC 11's owner, SES World Skies. They may have to reposition AMC 11 a little bit to try to keep it out of the... Basically, there's no chance of collision, but basically they're getting too close. And because the transponders are often on the same frequencies, it's just going to be an issue. And so they may have to move AMC 11 a little bit. But right now, Galaxy 15 continues to be non-responsive. Got an email from Sam. He says, hey, Todd, Boxy, an iPhone, an iPad, and an Android are all confirmed in the Vindica payment processing deal. Basically, what this involves, I mean, let me bring this up, is Boxy is going to have a payment system, which is pretty cool. Now, we can't wait for, you know, the D-Link box to come out, but apparently you're going to be able to buy stuff online through a payment processing deal from a company called Vindica, which is already on iPhone, iPad, and Android. So thanks for Sam for sending that that link over there. Of course, got an email from Nier and many other people saying, talking about the last show, basically going into a weird mode at 1 hour and 11 minutes. Thanks for that feedback, and hopefully we won't have that issue again. Got another email from Tracker Tom, says they walk, they work. New DNA robots strut their tiny stuff. This is pretty amazing stuff here. For the first time, microscopic robots made from DNA molecules can walk, follow instructions, and work together to assemble simple products on an atomic scale, assembly line mimicking the machinery of living cells, two independent research teams announced Wednesday. This blows me away. These experimental devices described in the journal Nature are advances in DNA nanotechnology, in which bioengineers are using the molecules of the genetic code as nuts, bolts, girders, and other building materials on a scale measured in a billionth of a meter. The effort, which combines synthetic chemistry, enzymology, structural nanotechnology, and computer sciences, take advantage of the unique physical properties of DNA molecules to assemble shapes according to predictable chemical rules. So you guys know that, you know, the building blocks of DNA there are specific building rules. Just like putting, blocks together and Tinker Toys, that type of stuff. But the DNA work is a small part of a nearly $9 billion research and development effort. And they feel this could, at some point, help repair mutated DNA and so forth. So this is some pretty crazy stuff. And it's really getting out there. It's an article on by the Wall Street Journal. I have a link up in the show notes. Anyway, a little short on email this show. No biggie. We'll get everybody out of here a little early. Thanks, for everybody, for hanging out with me. For those of you on Ustream, I'll hang out for a while after the show. But if you got comments on tonight's podcast, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me and hanging out for the show today. Those of you on Ustream, thanks for hanging as well. Again, if you have a comment on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. We'll be here for a normal start on Monday night's recording, beginning to get started about 8 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time for any of you that want to come up and watch the show live. And, of course, don't worry, you'll be able to catch the show via download Tuesdays and Friday mornings. That should be a fun week next week, the down and back out to Michigan and back. But, again, thanks for hanging out. We'll see you in the next go-around. Send those comments in. Everyone take care, and aloha.